I'm joined by Paolo Bertolin. Welcome.
Thank you and good afternoon, everyone.
Paolo, so you are a wonderful guest actually to finish our live shows because you can kind of bring us back before the beginning of the festival and kind of getting the sort of journey that leads to the official programming of a festival. In fact, you are a critic, a journalist, of course, but also the one of the selectors of Venice Film Festival.
I am actually one of the consultants of the festival because the festival here works in a slightly different way from other festivals. In Venice, we don't really have programmers. Ultimately, all decisions are taken by the artistic director, and so it's actually Alberto Barbera, who somehow puts his stamp of approval on each and every film that you see in Venice, or rather in the official selection, because as you probably have already told your audience many times, in Venice we also have a couple of sidebars that are independently organized, Venice Days and Critics Week. But for the films in the official selection, there is an artistic director, there is a selection committee, and then there are several correspondents / consultants who are in different ways following territories and countries and are scouting for films, keeping relationships with directors and producers, and somehow creating the bridge between local, national film industries and the festival itself. Because it's true that Venice is a great institution. I mean, it's the oldest, longest-standing festival in the world. But still, sometimes it's important to go out and look for the films, because not everything is coming to you. And sometimes you run into the risk of losing some very interesting titles because you've not been running after them. And basically, that's what I'm doing. I've been doing it for 8 years now. I was a member of the selection committee initially during the years of Marco Müller, so I've been under two different regimes, which was very interesting for me as an experience of working under such great festival directors. And throughout the years, I've been following different territories. I mean, even my set of territories has somehow slightly changed. So I've been covering such territories as South and Southeast Asia, South Korea, Oceania, Turkey, Canada. It somehow depended on the years.
And so what is the your expertise right now during all throughout the
right
world?
Right now, for this year, specifically the films that I can claim I somehow recommended to the team are the films from South and Southeast Asia, Oceania, Turkey. So if you want to blame someone about, let's say, the Turkish filming competition, come to me. And but then, you know, there is something quite important that I always like to state about Venice, not only when I'm talking with journalists, but also with producers and filmmakers. Compared to Cannes, in Venice, we have a much more friendly relationship between the different sections. You know, in Cannes, there is a very strong competition and divide between the official selection, the Quinzaine des Réalisateurs, Director's Fortnight, and the Critics Week. Whereas here in Venice, also because we share the same spaces, we are much more in a conversation among each other. So, for example, when we find a first feature film that we like, we also converse with the Critics Week on whether they have actually liked the film as well. And sometimes Alberto decides to let a certain first feature film go to the Critics Week so that actually that good film is in Venice anyway. So there is this kind of more fluid and, as I said, friendly relationship between the sections. So Critics Week and Venice Days also include films that I feel I somehow am connected with. Like Tanna. I mean, I was in an interview in the Italian radio, in the Italian version of Fred the other day with Angela Prudenzi, and we talked about this wonderful film from Vanuatu that everybody loved, and eventually it was selected for Critics Week, but I can tell you that it had huge supporters in the official selection and in Venice Days as well. So it's a film that everybody liked.
Yeah, we also had the pleasure to have both the directors here and JJ Nakos, which is actually one of the head of the Yakel tribe. So I definitely know what you mean. But I love this collegial and also kind of friendly approach that you have in Venice. But tell me a bit about the sort of, you know, apart from Alberto Barbera's diktat, how do these sort of meetings happen and take place? So, for example, you know, you have your, let's say, your top three, top five. You do your own little pitch, and then what happens after? Or maybe it's not a pitch, but what, tell me a bit
it
the dynamics.
It really depends. Mm. It really depends because sometimes, you know, I'm traveling. Sometimes I'm in Australia. I'm watching Australian films. I'm doing the pre-selection there in Sydney because me and my colleagues who are following certain territories are sometimes invited to the places, and local institutions do organize special private screenings of all the new films. And what we do is basically make a pre-selection. For example, if I get to see 90 new Indian films, I kind of select 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, I know that maybe not these, all of them, not all of, all the 10 films can make it into the lineup of Venice. I'm very happy if one eventually makes it. And I have to somehow prioritize the ones that I really believe in. And then it depends on whether I'm here physically in Venice. This year I was physically in Venice and I showed the films to the committee and I did an introduction. That is what we all do. But for example, my colleague who works for works following Latin American films, she is based in Buenos Aires, so she does this job by sending emails, by sending recommendations through emails, conversing with Alberto through Skype. This is how the actual work happens. And I guess it's very interesting, I guess, because it feels like it's a game, you know, mm-hmm. like you're playing a game, you have your favorites, you're trying to bring them into the festival, you really believe in a film and you want it to be here because, come on, Venice is one of the three main European film festivals and it's one that can change the career of a filmmaker. So if you believe in a film, if you believe in a filmmaker as a correspondent, but also as someone who really loves cinema, you really wish that that film, that filmmaker has this chance. And so you have to really be the one who bridges this talent with our committee. And our committee is composed by film critics, film journalists who do have an expertise and are looking for films that could be speaking to the audiences here in Venice. And sometimes it's difficult to translate the interest of a film within context that we can understand, me within the context of, let's say India or Turkey or Australia, and my colleague in the context of Latin America, to a committee that is based in Italy and has to respond to an audience that is Italian and international, because we have in Venice journalists and film programmers from all over the world. So I guess our job in a way is that of becoming some kind of cultural bridge between the different territories we work with and our committee and eventually the audience and the critics at the festival.
And Paolo, let me ask you something that maybe, I don't know, I'm really curious about your opinion. Because, you know, sometimes at the end of a festival, it's very common to hear critics and journalists trying to find the fil rouge, the leitmotif for every single festival. Do these things come out even when, you know, like the lineup is starting to take shape? And so you kind of see some sort of similarities, or as I said, the fil rouge that you have this awareness also when you pull up a lineup for example, Venice.
Well, this kind of awareness is something that you can develop when you're actually part of the committee and get to see all the films. I've been a member of the committee before. In the first few years, I was working with Marco Mueller, and it was very interesting because sometimes we were getting this impression that there were strange recurrent themes or situations, even just scenes that were returning in one film and then in another and then in another again. And it was interesting because sometimes this would actually be reflected in the program because there were times when, for example, I remember one of the 2 years I was a member of the committee, there were several films that were feeling like, oh, we are living in a time of desperation. It feels like the end is near. And to us, it was even deeper because we had seen more films and we had seen films that eventually were not selected that were actually even more openly dealing with that team. So it's a very strange thing because you cannot really grasp why this is happening. Maybe it's just because we all are, at this present time, in this new millennium, we are all living in a world that is much more interconnected. And it's not a joke. I mean, we are living in a world that is bridging and connecting places and people in a way that is much more direct than in the past. I mean, the sheer fact that I myself am a correspondent who travels to Australia, back in the 80s, this was not happening. It was much more difficult for a festival programmer and for films from far off places to reach a festival. And I feel that this interconnectivity, this global resonance of certain themes or certain moods and feelings, is something that cinema registers and detects in a way that sometimes is totally irrational, totally escaping mm-hmm. comprehension. And in a way, places like Venice or Cannes as well, and Berlin, places where you can see films from all over the world that are selected with an eye for what is going on, not only in terms of aesthetics, but also in terms of the discourse that cinema is carrying about contemporary world. These are exactly the things that you want to see. And it may be intentional sometimes, it may be totally a coincidence at times, but I think it's one of the most stimulating and interesting aspects of program making in a festival.
Thank you so much, Paolo.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.